If you find yourself pregnant with twins, you've landed in the right spot. Today on the podcast, I interview Allegra Gast of Aloha Nutrition, all about her tips and tricks as a mother of four, with the youngest two being one-year-old twin boys. Allegra starts us out discussing how she had her healthiest pregnancy and easiest birth and postpartum recovery with the twins, largely due to proper nutrition. She then takes us into the survival mode of newborn days and how she managed it all with her older children. We then talk about feeding, sleeping, getting out of the house, systems she has in place, and so much more. She shares great resources and some heartfelt stories. So let's start learning.
Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere, so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about. And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
The metabolic needs of pregnancy, postpartum healing, and making breast milk require more minerals than in other times of your life. And staying truly deeply hydrated during these times is very important. Nowadays, there are more options for this than ever, and ingredient quality and manufacturing integrity is very important for Dr. Leah and I. That's why we love Redmond Relight electrolyte powders. Mined in the USA, Relight contains Redmond's ancient unrefined sea salt with 60 plus trace minerals in addition to the appropriate proportions and forms of calcium, potassium, chloride, and magnesium that pregnant and breastfeeding moms need. Pregnancy demands a huge increase in blood volume and synthesis of an entire new baby, and that requires, you guessed it, minerals. This is the perfect blend to be sipping on during your labor or to have mixed into your bedside water bottle during breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, strawberry lemonade, or lemon lime. Grab a sample pack option to try them yourself and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 15% off your order of any of the products that Redmond has to offer, including their OG sea salt, other seasoning salts, natural toothpaste, bentonite clays, and more. Happy hydrating! Today on the podcast, we have Allegra Gast. Am I saying that right, or is it?
Yeah, Gast. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Allegra. We're going to talk all about twins because this is something I obviously cannot speak to any experience, nor can Leah. And it's important. And I feel like if I had just found out that I got pregnant with twins, I would want some sort of resource to listen to. And so hopefully this episode will provide that, the tips and tricks and the systems and all the different things that you've learned now over the course of this last year with two little twin boys, but you also have two other children. You're going to explain your whole family to us here in just a second. But I think that it's nice for people to hear it from the words of somebody who's still really in it. It's not like your twins are 12 and then you're trying to think back. Like, you're very much in the phase still right now of surviving that first year. And so we have a bunch of questions for you. But before I get going into that, I wanted to just intro you to the listeners. And then they know where to find you too, because your Instagram page is highly educational and valuable. So I want everybody to go and follow you. So Allegra Gast is a functional registered dietitian and an international board certified lactation consultant dedicated to supporting families through their postpartum health and breastfeeding journeys. She leads a team of five experienced registered dietitians and lactation consultants, providing virtual consultations to families worldwide. Allegra founded her practice, Aloha Nutrition, during her time in Hawaii, but now resides in Texas with her husband and four children, including twins. She shares valuable educational content on nutrition and breastfeeding on her Instagram page at aloha.nutrition, and that will be linked, and so is your website and everything below in the show notes so everybody can find you. So thank you for being here, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so can you tell us, you did just tell me right before we started recording, but how old are your children right now?
Yeah. So at the time of this recording, I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and he'll actually be 4 in a couple months. And then I have 1-year-old twins. So yeah, I'm still kind of slowly getting out of the thick of it.
Yeah, that is a lot. And when they were born, you had like the whole 3 under 3, almost.
Yeah. 4 so under. When they were born, I had 4, 5 and under. So it was, it was hard, which we can go over as we talk. But
all
yeah,
the dynamics.
Challenging year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, for some people, their first set of babies will be twins. For some people, they'll have already had other children or vice versa. You know, there's all sorts of different ways to combo the family. I think it's interesting, though, to hear this from you that you've already had some kids, too, because we can compare and contrast a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and tell us to start, you know, what was your reaction to finding out that you were having twins? And did you have any sort of like intuition or ideas that might happen beforehand?
Yeah. So we had two kids at the time when my husband and I were talking about having a third baby, and we're like, let's just, you know, have one more and then we'll be done. Three kids. That's great. And then I was tracking my cycle. I was very regular and I was still breastfeeding my two-year-old at the time and got pregnant. We were all excited. And I was showing actually pretty soon, like around 8 weeks. And I was like, wow, like I know it's the third baby. And, you know, usually the more pregnancies you have, you kind of show a little bit sooner. And I was really tired and a lot more tired than my previous two. And my husband was joking, like, well, what if they're twins? What if you're having twins? I was like, no, no, no. Twins don't run in my family. Like, no, we're not having twins. And then we had my first appointment, doctor's appointment, and I brought my four-year-old at that point. She was my four-year-old. I brought her with me to the appointment. And, you know, we'd been to multiple ultrasound appointments, so I wasn't looking at the screen. I know what the ultrasound looks like, and I wanted to catch my daughter's reaction. And so I was like, look, Audrey, look, there's the baby. You see it? And I was just like looking at her, and the technician was like, you mean babies? And I was like, wait, what? And I like looked at the screen and yep, there's two sacs, two babies, two heartbeats. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, 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 like, no, this, like, you're joking. Like, this is not real. And it was a vaginal ultrasound. I had her take it out and then put it back in to like, quote unquote, reset. And so there was a lot of fear and just like, this is ruining my plan. Like, we weren't supposed to have four kids. Like, now we have to get a new car and we have to, you know, how are we going to do this? And I had that fear for probably 24 hours. And then I just felt like this peace and just like, okay, we can do this. We're going to do it. I talked to a couple friends who did have twins and we laughed. They laughed and they're like, you know, you're going to be great. You're going to do it. And, then the excitement started to settle in, like, okay, twins, this is something very different. And so during my pregnancy, it was a lot of work. Like, I really tried to stay on top of my health, on my nutrition, on my physical, you know, changes that were happening. I started seeing a chiropractor, so a Webster certified chiropractor that specializes in pregnancy. And she really helped with my growing pains because with twins, you grow so much faster. Like, I was the size of my full term singleton at 41 weeks when I was like 18 weeks, like no joke, maybe like 22 weeks with the twins. Like, I was already big. And I was like, how is it possible to stretch even more? And your body does. I was seeing like a chiropractor to just kind of help me. And then I started working with a pelvic floor therapist. I was doing weekly yoga as well. And that helped so much. And then, you know, as a dietitian, I really had to tune into my body. And I feel like a lot of people kind of brush off pregnancy symptoms as pregnancy symptoms, like, oh, Charlie horses or that nausea or, you know, this or that, or the sleep insomnia, stuff like that. Like, oh, it's just pregnancy. And like, yeah, it is, but you can actually change things about it. Like, it's your body telling you, you need more, like those Charlie horses or those crampings. It's a sign you need to up your electrolytes. Maybe you need a little more magnesium. And then like a lot of the nausea, I mean, of course, at the end of the day, you can do all the things and still have a really hard pregnancy. So I don't want anyone to feel bad that they're like doing all the things and still having a hard pregnancy, because pregnancy is really hard. But I do also believe that your body is trying to talk to you. And a lot of those food cravings are also your body just telling you what nutrients you need. Like, if you're craving ice cream, it could actually be you're low in calcium or iodine. If you're craving like a hamburger, lots of meat, maybe you need a little more iron. So really listening to your body was a big thing that I learned in that twin pregnancy. And it was actually my best pregnancy, like especially compared to my first baby. I was not taking care of myself as much as I did with my twins. Like, I wasn't prioritizing protein. I would have like cereal with almond milk for breakfast with my first baby. And then I had like these energy crashes. I was constantly tired. Whereas with my twins, I like actually felt good. I was still running around with my older two and running my business and seeing clients. And, but you know, like I said, it definitely took a lot of work and intentionality with like taking care of myself and reminding myself like, hey, even if I want all this ice cream or candy or soda, I just can't give into that. Like I'm growing babies. I need to also prioritize nutrition and, you know, getting more fruits and vegetables and upping that fiber to help with any constipation. So yeah.
Wow. I love that your third pregnancy, when you have two other basically toddlers, I mean, one was a toddler, one's like a young
kindergarten.
And then now you're pregnant with two. It was your best pregnancy. But so, okay, did you continue to nurse throughout the twin pregnancy as well?
Yeah, I continued to nurse. I actually wanted to wean him and it took like 4 months of weaning. And I was like, wow, this is really hard to wean. Because my first one, I continued to nurse throughout that pregnancy too. And we actually tandem fed her and my newborn, my second baby, for about 15 months. So I weaned her when she was 3.5 years old as I continued to nurse my second baby. And then when I got pregnant with the twins, I knew that I did not want to feed three babies. And so I really tried on weaning, but he's just a big mama's boy and he's like my Velcro baby. And it was just really hard to wean. And we did it. We ultimately weaned about 2 months before I delivered. But then, jokes on me, after the twins were born, he wanted to nurse again. Like he just felt very jealous and he wanted to be close to me. And it was a huge change for him. And I felt bad. I felt like nursing was kind of our only time to cuddle as well. And he was still having his nap. So I really nursed him just once a day after I had the twins. I definitely felt like a cow, just a boob machine, and definitely felt touched out. And we eventually weaned him when he turned three. Wow. So the twins at that point were about 4 months old.
That is so incredible to me. So this is one of those myths that we can just bust right now, I guess, is the idea that a woman cannot make enough milk to exclusively breastfeed twins. Now, some may not, especially if they have any kind of like low glandular tissue anatomy going on, but it also can very much happen and be possible. It's nice that you're a lactation consultant and very passionate about this. And it's something that you were willing to do the work for too. And I remember following along with your nursing journey with your updates that you'd post on Instagram and just being like, wow, you are amazing. And even just the videos of you like getting them into position, like, because I find breastfeeding to be one of the hardest things, at least initially. And all my kids are lip and tongue tied. And so there's just a lot to do in the beginning there. But I would just watch those videos and be like, I literally bow down. I kiss the ground you walk on. Like, that is so intense.
No, don't do that. I'm just your typical mom who, you know, it does take a lot of work. And I actually did some prenatal breastfeeding classes. So one of my friends, shout out to Twin Mom Guide. She's also on Instagram. She has a whole twin specific prenatal course. And even though, you know, I've been a lactation consultant in IBCLC for many years, I knew that just breastfeeding twins is slightly different. And I had still worked with twin families, but there was a lot more that I didn't know, like how to latch the stronger baby first before you latch the weaker sucking baby, just kind of learning different positions or, you know, just little things like that. Like if your baby happens to go to the NICU or your babies, they happen to go to the NICU or they just have a weaker suck, like how to really support them. I would strongly recommend if you're currently pregnant with twins to take a prenatal breastfeeding course. So even if you've already breastfed kids, you feel like you know breastfeeding, there's still something different about twins or multiples. So I took that course and just kind of learned like little tips and tricks. I mean, I knew about how to establish milk supply, but like what I had learned from that was really latching the stronger baby, get them secure on the breast, and then work on the weaker baby, the baby who has a weaker suck.
That's a really interesting point because that first baby is going to get jostled around a little bit while you're trying to latch this baby number two. And so if you would reverse them, it makes sense. Like that's such a good tip. So, all right, speaking of that, let's just jump right in. I want to talk about sort of all your hacks and So for feeding and sleeping and routines and wearing them, or like, you know, getting out of the house, play, like all sorts of stuff. So let's kind of just backtrack and start about with newborn days. And actually, can you just really quickly kind of, how was your birth overall? Was it vaginal, cesarean? Mm-hmm. What was your recovery like? And then kind of diving into your newborn time.
Yeah. So everyone tells you be ready by 35 weeks, 36 weeks, like you'll guarantee be induced at like 37, 38 weeks. And I was like mentally already prepared to, you know, deliver my baby. I told my mom to come early. I told her to come when I was like 37 weeks. And I had a really great OB who really knew that I wanted a vaginal delivery. She was like, as long as baby A is head down, you can have a vaginal delivery. And then she had said she wanted to induce at about 38 weeks. But then I talked to her and I was like, hey, is everything fine with the babies? And she's like, yes, unless there's anything medically wrong, the induction is just a preference. And so I was like, okay, well, are you okay if we go to 39, or, you know, just kind of let nature take its course? And she's like, all right, like, you know, you're super healthy. I didn't have any inflammation or any swelling. I had really upped my protein and my electrolytes. I didn't have any high blood pressure, and I was actually taking beetroot. So just a fun fact, beets are very high in nitrates, which once you consume them, it makes nitric oxide that helps with your vasodilation to allow better blood flow in your body. So it can actually help with blood flow and help with blood pressure. And so there's actually some PubMed studies that I actually brought to my OB showing her that there were some studies showing that beets during pregnancy can help prevent hypertension. And so my blood pressure was really good. And so anyways, long story short, I went to 39 weeks. And then my mom, who was there, she had arrived when I was 37 weeks. She already postponed her flight and she had to return to work. And she's like, Allegra, I really want to see the twins. I really want to be here. I know you want to have a vaginal spontaneous delivery. And I did all the things to naturally induce. I even did castor oil. I did the midwife's brew. I did like literally everything. And my body just did not want to go into labor. And so I ended up making the decision to have an induction at 39 weeks and 4 days. And they started me on Pitocin, and I just needed a little kickstart of Pitocin, and they were able to turn it off because my body just needed a little kickstart, and then it took over. And I delivered within about 6 hours, vaginal delivery, baby A came out, and then about 6 minutes later, baby B came out, and both healthy, both, you know, crying. We put them on my chest and we did delayed cord clamping and that golden hour. And this was very different from my previous two babies. My first baby, she was born at 41 weeks and 4 days, and there was like fetal distress with my induction, and she ended up being taken to the NICU. And then my second baby had shoulder dystocia, and there was just, I had an episiotomy and just a lot more going on. And this one, I didn't even tear. I like zero complications. It was like my redeeming birth. And so it's just funny to think that my singleton pregnancies were worse than like my twin pregnancy. So it just kind of shows, like, just because you're having twins does not automatically mean you need a C-section or even an induction, or you have to deliver early. Like, you definitely want to find a provider that is going to work with you and work with your goals and really knows what kind of birth you do want. Like, obviously, if there were medical interventions or concerns, obviously I would do whatever I need to do to have a safe, you know, to deliver my baby safely. But since everything was fine, my OB was thankfully fine going to 39 weeks and 4 days and had a vaginal delivery. And then my baby A was 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and then my baby B was 6 pounds, 3 ounces.
Wow, those are big babies. I mean, 39 weeks, like, yeah, that's, you don't really hear that often where people go to, like, they're close to their due date with twins. It is in that window of the, you know, maybe 34 to 37 weeks, somewhere in there, that they're going to be induced or maybe even just plan cesarean to take them out, depending on what's going on. There's so many options. Yeah. So what types of twins were they, like Modi, Didi?
They were Didi. So that's another thing. And a good point is they were low risk twins. So Didi is the 2 sacs, 2 placentas. But fun fact, they're actually identical twins. So 30% of identical twins are dye twins. And so they started off as one egg. And then by day three, they split into two eggs. So that's why there's two sacs, two placentas, but they originally came from the same egg. And so the only way to find out if they're identical or not is DNA testing. So when they were about 3 months old, we bought a DNA test. We got their saliva. We sent it into the lab and they confirmed identical twins.
Is that what you had suspected based on how they looked? Or
no, I think they look different, but other people think they look a lot alike. And I'm like, no, they look so different.
That's so funny. Okay.
They say it's mom goggles. Like yeah. Moms can kind of just tell, or parents.
Yeah. You're with them 100% of the time. You see them all the time. I have a theory that just, this is totally from discussions in the wild of people who have identical twins. It doesn't sound like it was this way for you, but that identical twins are seemingly very frequently conceived directly after a miscarriage. Because it's not a genetic thing. It doesn't matter. It's not like you're dropping two eggs.
Right.
It doesn't
have spontaneous. To
do, yeah. It's just spontaneous where this thing splits. And maybe it was because you were nursing. I don't, you know, like something to do with the hormones, or it would be so fascinating to see more research on that. Maybe it exists. I haven't gone deep digging, but I know several sets, not know as in like they're my friends, but I have met people who have sets of identical twins and they'd had a miscarriage directly before, like the month or maybe up to 2 months beforehand. And whenever I ask them that, they're like, oh, how did you know? And I'm like, well, I wasn't like predicting the future. I'm just curious because it seems that there's this like high likelihood. So that's kind
I didn't have a miscarriage. So
it was something different there going on. Okay. So how were your newborn days and what was your method to surviving?
Yeah. I don't know. You just do it. But no, the first like 2 weeks were great. Like they just slept all the time. Like they wake up, you nurse them, they poop, they fall back asleep. And the hardest part were actually my older two.
Yeah.
Because it was just a big adjustment for them. You know, they definitely were acting out more. They needed more attention. And because you have twins, like my husband took one baby, I took one baby, and then nobody was taking care of the older two. And I mean, you try to step in as much as you can, but if you're in the middle of a diaper change, you can't just like go over and help your toddler open his snack. Or, you know, there were times when I overheard my daughter, my 5-year-old at the time, she had just turned 5. She was like, okay, Eli, I'll get you a snack. And it was just like so heartbreaking. Like she's having to step up and, you know, mature because I can't be there. And so it was kind of hard, but I mean, I tried to find activities, and if you have older kids, I would recommend trying to find activities that you can do while you're just sitting on the floor, because it's important for you to rest as well. Like you just delivered a baby, and especially if you had a C-section, you can't just get on the floor or you can't like move around a lot. So we did books, we did magnet tiles, we did coloring books together. So usually I would like nurse a baby, and those early days and even weeks, I would just do one baby at a time. And it was just a lot easier for me to just hold one baby while I'm using the other hand to help my toddler, help my preschooler. And then that's typically what we do recommend with twins, because twins can be very different in how they nurse. You know, maybe one has a weaker suck, whereas the other one doesn't. Maybe one pinches you more. Maybe they have a tongue tie versus the other one might not. So you do want to make sure that you're tackling each baby separately and treating them as their own entity. And so I did one baby at a time, and you will hear so much in the twin world to put your babies on the schedule, put your babies on the schedule, start on the schedule from the get-go. And I actually found that to be, and this is personal, like this was my thoughts, I just felt like it was a lot more overwhelming, because it's so hard to wake a newborn up when they're not hungry. Like if they're sound asleep, they're not going to wake up. And but then the other twin was wide awake and needed to be fed. And so I just felt like it was a lot more work. And especially if I was wanting to feed them one at a time, it actually worked out for me to have one baby, nurse them, and then they go to sleep. And then I get the other baby when they wake up, nurse them, they go to sleep. So I didn't worry about a schedule until probably month 3 or even 4. And honestly, they just naturally put themselves on the similar schedule. So
Okay,
if you're so type B mom, that might be the approach.
Yeah, type B moms unite. Okay, so when you're feeding one twin one breast, then do you feed the other twin the other breast, or how do they each have their own side, or would you switch around?
Yeah, great question. So you do want to make sure you're switching breasts so that both breasts are being emptied well. It's also important for babies so that they don't develop a side preference, or even a head preference, even like torticollis type of thing, or a flat head, you know, if they're always in the same position. So you do want to make sure that you are switching babies. You can put like a bracelet on. So maybe your hair tie, maybe baby A is always the one on the hair tie. And so baby A, you know, as the hair tie baby, you nurse them on the right side, and then the next feeding you switch the rubber band to the left side, and then you know that baby A is due for the left side on the next breast.
Keeping track, I'm sure. Did you ever have a moment where you were like, wait a minute, who is this? Have I fed you? Who are you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's been that. But I also do the when in doubt, whip it out. So it's like, I can't remember if I just fed you, but you're fussing right now. Let's just try to feed you.
Yeah, when in doubt, whip it out. I love that. Wait a minute. I've never heard that. I'm sure that's like a very common IBCLC thing, but I love it.
I actually got it from my husband, who's in the military. Apparently, if you don't know if someone's like an officer, you just salute them, even if you don't know. So like when in doubt, you're not really sure, just salute them.
Oh, there you go.
So, anyways, side note.
Okay. So as they would maybe get a little bit, well, actually, no, let's talk about newborn sleep. So you were just kind of like around the clock. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
At nighttime, at least, would they sort of go on the same schedule, or when did you sleep?
Yeah, I know, it's hard. So the first couple days, I remember one baby would wake up and I would try to wake up the other one because, you know, you want to be on the quote unquote schedule, even though I know during the daytime that was a little bit harder. But I did try at nighttime to kind of feed one baby and get the other one and feed him. And sometimes they did just wake up both on their own. And that's kind of when I was thrown into tandem feeding and just kind of like, hey, you're both fussing. You're both crying right now. Yes, I could have given a bottle, but I honestly wasn't really pumping a whole lot. And I knew I had the breast milk in my breast and I wanted to just remove it that way. But I probably could have pumped one side and had my husband just bottle feed. But I also wanted to like master tandem feeding and figure that out. So my husband would do the diaper changes. So he would change one baby while I would nurse the other baby. And then when he was done with that diaper change, I would take the other one off. Even if he didn't finish the feeding, get the diaper change, latch the other baby. And then once he was done with that second baby, I would then tandem feed. So I got to kind of get them both feeding on their own for the first little bit. And then kind of once their extreme hunger kind of went away, I was more comfortable with tandem feeding, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So, wow. Yeah. And did they like take pacifiers or were they not?
Yeah. So with my first two, I never did pacifiers. I never did like swings, you know, oh, those containers, can't put baby in a container, but twins, all that stuff went out the window. Like, yes, a pacifier, give him a pacifier. Like he just needs to be soothed. Like I just fed him. Like, yes, there's that when in doubt, whip it out. But I know I just fed him. Like just, it's okay to give a pacifier here and there. They had a really bad witching hour. So the witching hour probably started around week 3, and from weeks 3 to, I want to say like week 9, like it felt like eternity, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. they just cried. Like there was nothing you could do. You would go outside, you would give them a bath, change the environment, feed them, change them, like all the things. And they just cried and cried. And so I did baby wear them in the WeGo carrier. I don't know if you're familiar with that carrier, but it's a WeGo, it's twin specific. And so I would wear them. I would try to like bounce around, and it was a very, very, very hard, very stressful. My older two kids were acting out. They wanted dinner. And so me and my husband would kind of take turns and tag team. He would take care of the older two, get them dinner while I would take care of the babies. But, you know, I can't be with the babies 4 hours in a row without eating or peeing or drinking. And so I would take them from like 5 to 6, and then he would take them, wear them, try to calm them down while I would eat. I would spend time with the older two, drink water, go pee, and then we would like switch. And I told my mom, like, do not call me. Nobody text me from 5 to 9 p.m. Like, it is just like all hands on deck. And it was very hard. I hope nobody experiences colicky babies, the witching hour. Like, they would be totally fine during the day, and then just from 5 to 9 p.m. it was just like some switch. I don't know if you ever experienced the witching hour.
No, I have. Not for 4 hours that I'm remembering, but also I didn't have two of them. And if nothing stands out. So if it happened, it wasn't significant, like in that kind of way where you're talking about that. Mm-hmm. I can't even, I mean, I can imagine because I do have 4 kids. So like I'm in that time with you in a different way where like you just go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And then, yeah, you're like, I have not had a sip of water. Like, what is happening in my life and in my day? And I often pause and reflect on that, because that's actually happening to me a lot right now with my youngest being 18 months. Like, she's just into everything. Mm-hmm. But it's such a wild, I think about this often, because us as mothers, especially when you have a larger family, there are these times, these moments where it all adds up all at the same time. Everybody needs you. Everything is going on all right now. Or it's maybe like a 30-minute time period or something.
But they want mom.
Yes, they want mom. Just dad. And you have to do things. And it's like, it's a movie. It's a movie scene. You couldn't make it up if you tried. It is peak level chaos and peak level like mental, emotional resiliency. And it just the amount that it takes to kind of like not freak out in those moments, I think sometimes for me is tremendous, because I'm like, I just want to push pause. Like, you know, that magical ability, whatever it is in certain books and movies where they can just like stop and everybody just stops and they're frozen and you could like walk around and like clean the house and everybody's just frozen. Yes. And then you could unpause it and, or whatever it is. I often think about what would I do if I had that? And I know it's not realistic, but it's sort of like my little fantasy that I go into sometimes. And I cannot think what it would be like with 2 little newborns and then they're crying so hard. How was your husband's perspective on all of this? Like, was he just down for it or?
No, it really affected his mental health. So he did not do well. He spiraled more than I did. But he also has PTSD from the military, and he's fine if I talk about it. But yeah, so all the crying, screaming would just like be his little triggers. And so a big tip, and I even did this too, was to wear headphones, and the headphones help take the edge off the screaming. Like, you still can hear them, but it takes that high-pitched scream away. And so he wore that a lot. Like, he wore the headphones. He had to step out. Like, there was one night when the babies just would not sleep. Like, maybe at this point it was like 10 p.m. And my husband had gotten the older two to bed. And he was like, I'm tapped out. Like, I cannot. And so I ended up calling my neighbor and saying, like, hey, can you come over? Like, my husband can't. Or he needs to tap out just for a little bit, and I've got 2 crying babies, like, I just need help. And she was like, yep, I'm heading over. And so she took one baby, I took one baby, she was able to calm him down. I finally got the other one calm, because the hard thing is they feed off each other. So I would be holding one, finally get him calm, and then he would hear the other baby start crying, and then he would wake up and start crying. And so they just like fed off each other. And so I had to have my neighbor take the baby in one room and I go in the other room. And we then split up their bassinets just across the room from each other, put a sound machine, and then we ended up moving them into our closets, the bassinet. So my husband and I each have a walk-in closet. So he had one in his closet and I had one in my closet so that they wouldn't hear each other. And that was like the only way that we could really get them to go to sleep. And so, yeah, it was a lot on my husband. And even for me, like, I felt physically great. Like, I really prioritized eating. I made sure I ate, even if it was hard. I would make a quick PB&J. I would grab some dates and dip it in peanut butter, string cheese, beef jerky. Like, just having a lot of those quick snacks on hand are huge. So I felt physically good. I was drinking my electrolytes, my mineral mocktails, but just mentally, like, the overwhelm, like, just so much going on. I remember coming out, my older two had gotten into all the paint, and they were just kind of like on their own. And
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know what, like, how to reverse, because, like, what I could have done differently. I think the big thing I would have done differently is just ask for help, hire help. Like, we don't have any family here. We did have help that first month, which was great, but it wasn't until, like, week five when things really got worse with the twins and we didn't have any help. I had a mother's helper to help play with the older two, but they, because there were all these changes, they just wanted mom and they wanted my husband and they didn't want this babysitter there. Like, they just felt like we were kind of betraying them in a way, maybe you could say, or just, like, you know, pushing them away. We did have a meal delivery, or we had a meal train. And then I also made like a ton of freezer meals during pregnancy, which is another huge tip I would recommend if you are pregnant, pregnant with twins, singletons, just make some freezer meals. You will thank yourself. So between our meal train and all my freezer meals, we had enough dinners for about two and a half months before I actually, like, needed to make meals. And so that was really helpful when I when the babies had the witching hour, because I could just pull something from the freezer and then we had dinner ready to go. But, you know, the house gets neglected. It's hard to clean up, pick up, do the dishes. So delegating a lot. But yeah, it's just kind of a lot. We did have my older kids in preschool, so about 4 days a week. It was just a half day, but even that half day was so helpful. Just, like, being able to just settle down, maybe take a nap with the babies. I'm kind of going back to sleep. I know you had asked, like, how did I do sleep? We actually ended up co-sleeping. So I am not personally a huge fan for myself of co-sleeping. I just feel like I don't necessarily get as much rest, but it was survival mode. Like, that was the only way I could get enough sleep with twins, especially twin newborns. And so, we do have a king bed. We make sure that we're doing safe co-sleeping, so no extra blankets, no extra pillows. And so I would have my husband on one end. I was on the other end, and then both twins on their back in the middle. And then whichever twin woke up, I would just bring them close to me and nurse them in the sideline position, and then kind of roll him back on his back and put my arm kind of near him. I mean, he could smell me. He knew I was there. And then if the other twin woke up, I would bring the other twin over and side nurse him and just change my breasts and then put him back. And so that was really great, because even if I was still waking up frequently, I wasn't having to get out of bed, and just getting up out of bed is a lot mentally and physically. So we did co-sleeping, and we did that for probably the first 2 months, and then we put them back in the bassinet, and then we hit the 4 month sleep regression. And so we kind of co-slept then again. So for me, co-sleeping is more for that survival. Like, I rather co-sleep than have to wake up like 4, 5, 6 times that night.
And now a word from our sponsor. As we're talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share my favorite reproductive health nutrition brand, Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's life. Many women will stop their prenatal after birth, but we actually recommend continuing it for at least the first 9 months postpartum and longer if you're breastfeeding. Needed's prenatal multivitamin is the most robust formula I've ever seen, and it contains the bioavailable nutrients you need in evidence-based dosages, which are well above the bare minimums that most prenatals settle for. Their quality standards are also top tier, with transparent sourcing and rigorous third-party testing. And that is why now over 6,000 practitioners recommend Needed. Now also, we have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study, which confirms what we see clinically, that women who take the Needed prenatal multi had significantly higher blood levels of nutrients critical for postpartum and beyond, including vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, K2, and selenium. Only women in the Needed group reached the sufficient levels of vitamin D, which plays a big role in immune health, energy, and mood regulation, all so important during the postpartum season. So while there are many ways to support yourself postpartum, continuing your prenatal is one of the simplest, most impactful ways to do it, and Needed makes it easy. So learn more at thisisneeded.com/thrive to see more about the study, and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 20% off of your first order. Yes, healthy mother, as a little mantra or affirmation for yourself. It's so cool. Okay, now back to the show.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, if it works for you and you can do that and it's you're getting more rest, that, well, it's like, yeah, everybody, you just have to do whatever you're going to do, especially in that scenario. It is full on survival. And if that is, you know, even if it wasn't something that you had done with your other kids, it's like, that's what needs to happen right now. So then, okay, as they got older, did you put them into their own rooms or like their own crib spaces? Did they sleep train? Like what did, because now they're one. So tell us, how'd you do that?
So they were in our closets until they outgrew the bassinet. And so that was probably like 4 or 5 months. So then we put one baby in, the guest room, which was like the nursery guest room. And then we kept one baby in our room. So we still felt like we had to separate them because they would just like feed off each other. And when one would wake up, the other one would wake up. But then around a year, I was like, I just want my room back. And so I had talked to a lot of other twin parents and they're like, yeah, your twins will get used to each other crying and they won't wake up anymore. And so we ended up putting both babies in the same room in their cribs. And it's true. They don't wake up. So when one is like hysterically crying, the other one is sound asleep. And so maybe they just needed to get to a certain age before that, because I know before they turned a year and when they were separated, when we did try to put them together, they would wake up, especially the witching hours. So, you know, now at a year old, they're waking up probably still once, which I'm totally fine with, because I know those night feeds are great for my milk supply because I do plan to continue breastfeeding them. So I know it's good for my milk supply. And then also the house is quiet. It's just like me and them. Like I kind of find it like our special time. And they're only up, they only feed for like 5 to 7 minutes. Like they're pretty active feeders. And then I just go straight to sleep.
And do you tandem them now at that age or no?
Only if they see each other. So right now they get jealous. So if one wants to feed, the other one could be busy playing. And if I nurse that one and the other one sees, he'll crawl over, walk over and want to nurse as well. So I do usually tandem feed at this age. And it kind of depends on the day, depends on the feeding, like when I do like to tandem feed. It's just like getting it over with both of them, but they also hold hands. They also slap each other and pull each other's hair. So it's kind of like amusing.
It's like the sweetest moment or it's chaos, either one.
Yeah. I would recommend, you know, any twin parents out there, like it is a lot physically on you and like especially with those sleepless nights. So I would really try to prioritize your health, because when you can take care of yourself, you can do a better job taking care of them. So the first thing I recommend in the morning is get sunlight. Just try to get that sunlight into your eyes, because that will really help with your circadian rhythm as well as baby's circadian rhythm. So especially as newborns, they have their night and days mixed up. So seeing sun first thing in the morning, open all your blinds, step outside, and then making sure you're eating breakfast. I always say food is fuel. And if you haven't slept much all night, you're depleted, you're exhausted. And so you really want to look at food as that energy. And of course, there's still going to be times you just need a nap. But you know, you also want to make sure you're getting that energy from food. So really focusing on protein, adding collagen powder into your coffee, you know, maybe eggs, or, you know, if you're doing oatmeal, because I know everyone eats oatmeal when they're breastfeeding, like make sure you add protein to that, add hemp seeds, chia seeds, peanut butter, Greek yogurt, you know, maybe even protein powder, like a quality one. So yeah, just kind of wanted to add that, because you're going to feel exhausted, obviously. And this goes even for singletons, like just making sure you're taking care of yourself and nourishing yourself.
Absolutely. I love that you said that. You're speaking my language. Speaking of that, on a personal note, for you and your body, I mean, if you can remember, did you feel like your immediate postpartum with like, you know, just your bleeding, your, I don't know, sometimes like I immediately postpartum have this like sort of deep fatigue where even just getting up and walking around the house feels like really tiring. And I just sit in the bed for like 2 weeks, but I wonder how it felt for you now with your third pregnancy and then with twins. Was there any differences in the way that you felt specifically in your body with your postpartum recovery?
Yes, so much better than my husband. So I think the delivery has a huge part in it. So, you know, my second, I had episiotomy, I lost more blood. I like literally felt my pelvic floor like just weaken. So every time I walked, I would fart, just like fart, 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 fart. I know it's so embarrassing, but what happened with my second, like there was no control. My bleeding took a lot longer. I was very tired, even though I was like somewhat trying to prioritize my nutrition and my health, like just my second postpartum journey was a lot harder. And then with this one, I think because I didn't tear, I had vaginal delivery unmedicated, like I didn't have a lot of those after symptoms, and my bleeding stopped probably like a week and a half, 2 weeks postpartum. I did a lot of sitting, so I would still like walk to the couch or walk here and there, but I didn't go on walks, and I tried to really minimize the appointments that we had. I mean, we had a chiropractor appointment and then the pediatrician appointment, but I really tried to put all my appointments to the afternoon so that I could kind of sleep in a little bit in the morning, take things slow. But it's just amazing how important that rest is in the postpartum period, as well as that nutrition. I drink bone broth. I, you know, did a lot of soups and curries. I mean, the hardest thing was just the mental overload. Like it wasn't the physical thing that was hard. It was the mental. Whereas with my second and first pregnancy, it was the physical that was harder, not necessarily the mental load. So, yeah.
What did help with your mental overwhelm and load, if anything,
with the twins?
Yeah. Like if you get back.
I think talking to people, like talking to my friends who did have twins, you know, just kind of like seeing that there is light at the end of the tunnel, because when you're in it, you're like, this is the end. Like, or I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. Like I see no light at the end of the tunnel. I really tried to find like mantras and things to just lift my spirits. Like I was born for this. I was equipped for this. Like God had this in his plan. Like he's going to get me through it. And then talking to, you know, joining some twin Facebook groups and just kind of like saying, hey, when does this get a little bit better? And I would say around 3 to 4 months, we kind of took a turn. Their witching hour went away. They had more times of enjoyment and were content. But I mean, we're 14 months now and there's still hard days. I mean, teething, I felt like they were teething nonstop, sicknesses here and there. My older two, they adjusted probably around month 3, month 4. And so that also kind of helped things. But you really like, there's really no time for you. So trying to prioritize that somewhere, you know, taking showers, I find very restorative, but at the same time, you keep thinking like, is the baby crying? Or how much time do I have before they start crying? Or you'll get one baby happy and then you go take your shower and then the other baby now needs you. And so my husband did a really good job like stepping in, but you know, there's still so much, like he can't do it all. Like I just feel like there's something different with moms, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, I probably could have done things differently. I mean, it's just like, even friends would try to see you, but it's like, I don't want them necessarily to come to my house or them to bring all their kids, but I don't feel well enough to take my whole family to their house. So that was kind of like, you know, challenging, I guess. But a big thing that we did was also split up. So like, especially with grocery shopping or doctor's appointments or even outings, I would take one big kid, one baby. And we used to take like, we used to split them up, the littles and the big kids. So my husband would take the big kids and I would take the babies, but that's a lot of work for the person with the two babies. So we ended up splitting them up, one big kid, one little, one big kid, one little. And it's a game changer when there's one baby compared to two babies. And it made outing so much easier. So, you know, I would make a bottle, my husband would take a baby and my toddler and go to the park. And then maybe the afternoon I would take my daughter and another baby to the park. And so we kind of did that. And that was really made things a lot more manageable. So if you are a twin parent that's like, oh my gosh, I can't split my twins, you know, they've been together since birth or since the womb, like it's okay. They're going to be fine if you split them for a couple hours.
That's a great tip. Thank you. And it brings me to the next point, which was kind of like, what tips or tricks do you have with, getting out of the house, your systems, your schedule, your routine, like these little types of things that can feel really overwhelming to new twin parents, you know, if anything comes to mind?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think like splitting them up is okay. Like, don't be afraid of doing that. I tried to have like naps on the go. I do try to prioritize at least one good nap at home in the crib, but you know, with older two, you don't want their whole world to depend on the babies and their sleep schedule. So we did a lot of naps on the go in the car and the stroller. So, you know, if you have older two or older kids, like don't be afraid of bring your babies along, like they'll be flexible. Maybe bring a carrier and wear them. Maybe try to pack your bags the night before. Give yourself 30 minutes for everything, like before you have to leave, like give yourself a 30-minute buffer because you're going to have a blowout or spit up and have to change them. And then your toddler will say they need to go pee or they accidentally pooped their pants or, you know, just something will happen. So give yourself enough time to get out of the house. I would still try to get out of the house. One thing that I was a no Rainer, like one thing that I was a non-negotiable is eating and putting makeup on and brushing my hair. Like that just helped me feel like human because it's so easy to just go out in our sweatpants and mom bun and, you know, which is not bad here and there, but, you know, you still want to take care of yourself. You know, you're such a wonderful mother, wonderful parent, but you also need to take care of yourself. So remembering to eat, remembering to drink, you know, check in with yourself. When was the last time I brushed my teeth? When was the last time I took a shower? So, you know, even me and my husband would check in with each other like, hey, did you eat? Or like, hey, did you drink some water today? You know, so
yeah, these like seemingly basic things, but they really do get overrun. I have such a specific memory when I was in school. I was a third year medical student when I had my first child. And there was a couple of women in my class who'd had babies like the 6 to 12 months prior to me. And I remember walking with one of them in between classes and she had just finally come back from her maternity leave. She had like a 3 month old or something. And I was asking her how it was going. And she said something like, I think I'm having a harder time than some of the other moms. And like, I have a really hard time even finding, like a moment in the day to take a shower. And I'd heard that sentiment before. And then she said that. And in my mind, I don't know what I said back to her. I was probably just empathetic to, you know, it's gotta be so hard. But in my mind, I really was like, what does that mean? Like, how is that possible? A shower takes 6 minutes. Like, how can you not find 6 minutes of the day? And for anybody who's listening to this, thinking the same thing. So I used to have thoughts, and I'm not ashamed to say this now because I just was naive and ignorant and I didn't know. But I used to think that when people were having like a super hard time having kids, because I was a nanny. So this is why I think I thought that. I was always a nanny throughout college. And I actually kind of got into this like twin community. And it was like all the twin moms knew that I could handle the twins. So then they would just like pass my name around. And then like all I ever nannied was twins. It was so funny, but I loved it. It was great. But I remember thinking like, they're just not doing it right. Or something like they're not doing it well enough or whatever, because you just cannot know until you do, until you're there. And it's like, no, literally taking a shower just is the bottom rung of all of the priorities and all of the different things that are going on in the day. And it's very difficult to move in those sorts of self-care things. Or like you said, with makeup, I really like that idea. I do not do this and I should, but on the days where I do wear makeup, I feel better. There's such a psychology feeling like yourself and a feeling put together where then, if you feel like you're kind of a hot mess, then your sort of day follows and tracks with that energy of being a hot mess. And it's like, that is significant. That can be significant over time. And as you start to creep out of the real woods of the newborn days, you know, maybe in that 3-4 months, somewhere around there, I'm like that too. I think that, I mean, I didn't have twins, but for me, I start to come back to life, I think around 3 or 4 months. And look around the world again and be like, whoa, what's been going on out here? Because I don't know. But I think it can be really helpful to have even just these little practices. So thank you for sharing all that. I love that.
Well, you say like the 6 minutes. And I think as moms, we just think, okay, we have 6 minutes. Do I shower? Do I eat? Do I change the laundry? Do I quickly load the dishes? Do I play with my kid? Do I read a book? Like, we have all these things we could do with that 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we put our needs on the back burner because we need to take care of others and our house, you know? So, but my recommendation is to take care of yourself first, because then you'll feel better. You'll have that, you know, stamina to then do the laundry and to do other things. Like for me, I put makeup on. I even make my bed. So once I make my bed, that subconscious is like, okay, I've accomplished something. What's the next thing I can accomplish? Okay, I can do the laundry or, you know, something else. So kind of having those small dopamine hits, I think, are really helpful to then get the next dopamine hit, the next. And so, you know, putting on makeup, doing your, making your bed, opening up the blinds, getting some fresh air, just drinking water, eating some food, you know, just kind of trying to prioritize your needs.
Yeah, I love that. It's the little things that will be your, like your small engine in the background that's actually keeping you going. It's not going to be that you're going to get to go cold plunge and sauna for an hour and a half every day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not happening. So we have to figure out different ways. I mean, maybe in the future, it's just not the season for that right now. So what are the things that we can do? These little wins, these little points of joy throughout the day that kind of, yeah, I love that dopamine hit. That's exactly what it is. So let's just call it out. Yeah. Like, there's no shame in that. Sure.
Sometimes we go on our phone to get that dopamine hit, but it actually causes more stress and anxiety. So and that's another tip, is like, just put your phone away. Like, I did not even go on my phone during that witching hour. It was just like one more stimulant, one more thing. So I would recommend, even when you wake up in the morning, just don't look at your phone. You don't need the outside noise. Like, just focus on the task that you have on hand, because the phone, it really sucks you in. You get more snappy. Like, your child is trying to talk to you as you're trying to read a text. And so I would just try to put the phone away when I can.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I have a couple of these sort of quicker and seemingly random questions, but they're about, you know, being a twin mom. And I want to end with these because I know we just have a few more minutes left. So we did bust already a couple of myths, but is there any other myths about twin parenting that you kind of have encountered to not be true?
A lot of them are like breastfeeding, like, oh, you're going to have to supplement from the beginning, or you can't exclusively breastfeed twins, or twins mean automatic C-section. And I thought a lot of this too, like, that because I was having twins, I would have a C-section. And of course, there's nuance with everything. Like, even with the breastfeeding, some do need to supplement, or some might not be able to exclusively breastfeed, and that's okay. Maybe one baby has a much easier time latching than the other one. So, you know, those are some myths, and there is nuance to it. So that's where like reaching out to a professional can be super helpful. Do you actually need to supplement, or is it just because you feel like you need to because they're twins? What are some other myths?
Yeah, some of that weight gain stuff. Did yours have any issues with weight gain?
No, thankfully they've all been good weight gainers.
Weight gainers, good. Yeah, because that can be, I think that would be the thing that would make women really question their supply. Is it adequate? Is it enough? And they probably would go into it thinking there's no way there's enough. Yeah. So then they're almost looking for those reasons to support their hypothesis that it's not enough. And so working with somebody like you, like an IBCLC, who can really reassure you, but also actually be doing some of the monitoring, because it's probably a good idea to do better monitoring in that situation and just say, okay, what is actually happening here? And, you know, you'd be surprised how much you could get done there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so what about, is there anything that you wish that people didn't say to you as a twin mom while out in public?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've got your hands full. Yeah, I remember I was going on a walk with all four of them. I was going alone. Like, my husband kind of needed a break. He didn't want to go on the walk. And I was like, all right, well, I'm feeling good. Let's go on a walk. I put the babies in the double stroller. My daughter had her scooter. My son had the bike. And it was all great until, you know, they just kind of get that meltdown. And one twin started crying and then the other one started crying. And I'm like trying to push as fast as we can go to just get home. I was like, okay, mayday, mayday. Like, we got to turn around. We're going home now. And one of the neighbors was like, oh, you've got your hands full there. And I'm at the, like, about to cry too, because it's just like so much. And it's like, that was not helpful. Like, it would have been nice if he was like, here, let me carry your toddler's bike, because he's no longer wanting to ride it. He's crying. So, you know, that would have been helpful. You know, try to open the door for others, try to help them out, give them some encouragement. Like, you're doing a great job, mama. You're doing a great job. Keep hanging in there. Yeah, I remember I was at the grocery store one time with both twins and my husband. So he had one baby, I had another, and the mom came over and was like, I have twins. They're 21 years old now. Like, you're doing a great job. Those first years are so hard, but you will find so much joy with twins. I was like, okay.
Well, that gives me, that like makes me tear up. It's so sweet. Yeah. I saw a reel one time that was, this woman got stopped. She was out with, I think, she had her own four kids, not twins, but still, just the number of children I think around one woman really overwhelms people, and they don't know what to say. They just, but she said that it was this old man, and he just looked at her and he said, you're going to have so much fun.
Aww,
and I thought that was so sweet. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's such a great way to look at it. It's that this is like, you're building this family for your rest of your life and your legacy, your generations, you know, and it's, yeah, of course there's going to be this hard initial season. Okay, what advice would you give to a woman who has just found out that she's expecting twins, if you could kind of come up with a couple?
Yeah, I think, you know, this was meant to be. You're going to do an amazing job. It is hard. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but you are strong. You are stronger, and you're going to make it through, and you're going to have times when you doubt yourself, but, you know, you're going to be carried through. And I know people say, like, I forget how the saying goes, but like, we're not going to be given more than we can handle. It's like something along those lines, but I don't agree with that. I think we are given more than we can handle. And that is us reaching out to our village for help. Like, we need to ask for help. We can't do it alone. Like, I had to ask my neighbor to help, or, you know, my husband to help out here and there. And so it is going to feel very overwhelming, and don't be afraid to ask for help. I ended up getting a cleaner. She's a 19-year-old. She's not a professional cleaner, but she comes over and just helps me catch up on laundry, fold laundry here and there. So she's $15 an hour. Like, I will gladly bring her here like twice a week to help me catch up on laundry or the dishes. And so don't be afraid to like hire help like that, like just someone to fold laundry or do the dishes or just help pick up. So lean in on your village, get professional help if you need to, a lactation consultant, a mental health therapist, pelvic floor therapist, like whatever you're going through, because it is a lot. And so, you know, you can handle it, but also we need help from our village.
Yeah. One thing I'm guilty of, I think, is thinking that if there's a service I'm hiring out for, that it's going to be forever. Like, in my mind, for some reason, I'm like, no, I can't do that because I can't manage that for the rest of my life. And it's like, why can't I just see that it's okay if this is the way that it is for 3 months? You know, it does not have to be. No one's making you sign a 6-month contract, a 19-year contract to being beholden to this person. But it's like, it might really help you bridge the gap for right now when things are like off the rails. And you just
like a mail delivery service.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, two more. What are, if there, is there any products, tools, support systems, things that like, I don't know, yeah, apps, websites, things like that, that you did give us the name of your prenatal twin.
Shelly, twin mom guide.
Yep. Anything else that you would suggest that twin moms check out?
There's this book called The Holistic Guide to Twin Pregnancy by Brianne Blem. And it was actually one of my Instagram followers that sent it to me. And it was such an encouraging book. So if you're looking for more of a holistic pregnancy and holistic delivery, I strongly recommend that book. So that was super helpful. And then some other products. I mean, a lot of those pillows, like I use the Be My Breast Friend pillow or My Breast Friend Twin pillow. That was super helpful. And then the Twin Z pillow was also really helpful for like the lounger, just kind of putting them in and bottle feeding. Like my husband did that. Let's see, a deep freezer for your food, your postpartum freezer stash. I strongly recommend investing in a deep freezer. Let's see, any other products? I can't think of any right now on the spot.
I love your emphasis on food nutrition. I know that that's your training and work as well, but it really is so true. And if people have ever had this experience, I've definitely had this experience where I took care of myself in an entirely different way with my fourth pregnancy. And I mean, I had always been healthy and health, you know, oriented, but the way that I ate with her and then in my postpartum too, even though her postpartum was one of my more challenging ones, simply because she had laryngeal malacia, which is like a breathing. Oh yeah. You know, you're a lactation consultant. Yeah. It changed everything about the way she ate and slept. And so it was very difficult. It was pretty severe for her as well, but I felt great. And I was the oldest, obviously, that I've ever been. I had more responsibilities, more children. It was the year that I really, my business took off, the most money I've ever made, like to be able to contribute to my family. Like I was doing more things than ever before in my life. And I had four kids, but I ate like a queen. And I seriously, and then supplementation with a really good prenatal, really good regimen with that. And I just, amazing. It's everything. Yes, it's everything.
It really is. And I wish more people knew that. And I do occasionally, like twice a year, an energy challenge with my followers. And we just work on the foundations, which is eating breakfast with 20 to 30 grams of protein, getting sunlight, drinking 1 to 2 mineral mocktails, which are like electrolytes a day, and then eating every 3 to 4 hours, just because a lot of times we forget to eat, or we just snack, or we eat our kids' leftovers. But, you know, just those foundational things are a huge game changer for your energy and just mental health. I mean, protein, the amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, make neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine. So like if we want to support our energy and our mental health and even digestion, like we need these amino acids. So protein is huge. And so supplementation, like a good prenatal vitamin is huge. Those electrolytes. So I love that you said that because, you know,
it's because
nourishing yourself is huge.
Yeah, we see it day in and day out. And it's just one of those that sounds too simple, I think, to have such a profound impact, but it really does.
Yeah.
Okay, I know we got to get going, but last quick question. What are some of the most joyful or unexpected blessings of twin motherhood?
I think just, I still try to tell myself, what are these blessings?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a little reminder for yourself.
Because sometimes I'm like, oh, are they a blessing? This is too much. But yes, they are. They are a blessing. I think just seeing them play together is just so cute. Dressing them up similarly, just seeing how they interact has been a lot of fun. And then just seeing how they interact with my older two. But yeah, I know they're a blessing. Sometimes they're hard to find and I just have to keep reminding myself, especially when I'm in the thick of it. But yeah, I think, you know, they have each other, they're friends, they're playmates. And so I think that's really sweet and special to see.
Yeah. Built in. I wonder, have they ever had any, like, do they do weird twinny stuff? Like they do the exact same thing at the exact same time, or is it too early?
I think it's too early. I don't know. I haven't noticed anything like that.
Okay, cool. It'll be fun to see now throughout your whole life, you know, if they have that kind of eerie twin telepathy or whatever that comes around. Okay. Yeah. Well, Allegra, this was so awesome. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that the listeners learned something. And even if they don't have twins themselves and they learned how they can potentially better support a friend, a family member who is going to have twins, Namely just kind of being that person that's willing to show up at 10 o'clock at night, like your neighbor. I mean, kudos to them because that's so kind and so sweet. And probably something that they, one thing I learned from a therapist one time is that people want to help you and they want to be, they want to feel needed and they want to feel like you're contributing. Cause I have this complex sometimes where I feel like I don't want others to think I'm taking advantage of them by asking for help. And maybe a lot of women have that too. I think it's hard for us to ask for help in general, but really if it boils down to it, like if we think back on our own lives, when someone really needed you and they asked you for something, how it's hardwired into our human biology to feel a joy and a sense of purpose to rise up and be there for that person. And that is how it is almost all the time. Of course, there's going to be exceptions, but if we can, as new mothers of any children, really lean into that idea and know that they're probably thinking, wow, that one time when Allegra called me in the night, like, I'm so happy I was able to help her. That's probably something that person's going to think about seriously for the rest of their life. And you too, because you're like, I needed help in that moment. And here she was, or he, or whoever it was, you know? So I just wanted to highlight that real quick because it's such a beautiful story and like a little microcosm to the macrocosm of how we're going to make this work in our modern humanity and modern mothering when we don't have our, the literal village, we have to sort of create it ourselves.
And that's kind of been the biggest thing as a military family is like finding your village, like, you know, get out of your comfort zone to meet your neighbors, to make new friends, acquaintances. And you're so right. Like she is so happy that she was able to help me. I know whenever I thank her, she's like, of course, like I actually, you know, enjoyed it. I liked snuggling a little baby, even if he was crying, like it brought me back to those days. And so, yeah, people want to help.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you.
Are you pregnant or trying to conceive and looking for reliable, engaging education around how to have a healthy pregnancy and prepare for the future aspects of motherhood to come, like birth, breastfeeding, and postpartum? Well, then look, I've got you. This is exactly the education that you'll receive with my 6-week pregnancy call. You get access to my most comprehensive resource of everything I wish women knew before heading into motherhood. It's simultaneously a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 course, and postpartum planning class all in one. And now it's available not only during our live rounds where you get tons of one-on-one support from me and a small group of like-minded women, but also in a lessons-only format. The lessons-only version of this course is just that. It's all of the content, but it's without the Q&A calls and without the group chat. This version is available on my website at all times too. So log on to www.milkmedicine.com/lessons-only to check it out, or you can go to the show notes for the link. I hope that you'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content. We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time.
And please remember that the ideas and views of this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. And remember, a healthier future starts now and it starts with you.